This is For Your Reference, a sports reference podcast.
Welcome back to For Your Reference, a sports reference podcast. This is where we get to share the interesting stories and topics that we happen to come across while building the Sports Reference family of websites. My name's Charlotte. I'm on the data team at Sports Reference, and I'm here solo today to talk about the first and only woman to sign an NBA contract. And this topic is actually courtesy of Billy Fryer, our women's college basketball intern from the summer of 2022. And cough, cough, that is a hint that we are planning to expand our coverage of women's college basketball in the near future. And while he was here over the summer, he was researching a conflict between the NCAA and the AAIW, which was the Association for Intercollegiate Athletics for Women, and he came across the story of Ann Myers. And she first got national attention when she was the first woman to get a full college scholarship for athletics. She was a college basketball player at UCLA, and the AIAW had actually prohibited scholarships until a lawsuit in 1973, and she came along in 1974. That's when she started playing college basketball on her scholarship. Of course, many other women college athletes followed her after that, but it's sort of interesting, and I always think about cases like Jackie Robinson, you know, where there were several handful of other people in the wings who maybe could have had that role and been the first, but just due to circumstance, there always has to be that one person who is the first. And in this case, Myers really seems like somebody who was up to the job, you know, to carry the mantle, so to speak. You know, she was someone who was used to being the first and getting some attention for that. She played 7 sports in high school, and she received 13 MVP awards. She was the first high schooler to ever play for the U.S. national team in basketball, and she just went on to notch first when she played at UCLA. She was the first 4-time All-American, and she was the first to record a quadruple-double, and that's a feat that has only occurred 4 times in NCAA history, 3 times by female basketball players and once by a male college basketball player. So after all these firsts in high school and in college, Ann Myers goes on to have kind of her big break, her biggest first, when she is the first woman to sign an NBA contract in 1979 with the Indiana Pacers. I do want to note that previous to this, there were 2 women who had been drafted by NBA teams, and that's Denise Long, whose draft choice was actually voided by the commissioner because the team hadn't really intended to play her. And then there was Lucy Harris, whose draft pick was not voided, but she never ended up attending tryouts or playing with the team at all. So Ann Myers was the first person to actually show up and get on the court for an NBA team. She was offered $50,000 to come and do this training camp tryout contract. And there was a sort of caveat in the contract that if she didn't make the team, she would stay on with a different job. And that is what ended up happening. She became a color analyst with the team after she didn't make it through tryouts. Before our intern Billy started telling me about Ann Myers, I had no idea that a woman had ever signed an NBA contract, and I was so curious what the reaction would have been at the time, and I went right to the newspaper archives to see what the reporting was when she was at training camp, and probably shouldn't have been surprised to find that it wasn't all positive, but certainly did get a lot of attention. I read that there were 10 different TV cameras there for her first day of practice, and there was coverage in basically every newspaper across the country. One thing they liked to put a lot of emphasis on was her size. She was 5'9" and 140 pounds, as you could have found in any article, or, you know, 6 different times in a single Sun News article. They mentioned those stats. Reputable newspapers across the country referred to her as a Raggedy Ann doll, a sideshow, and the Susan B. Anthony of the NBA. One of them said that her contract was going to guarantee not only $50,000, but 50,000 bruises. And then they discussed how women might have more luck facing off against men in other sports like car racing or golf. There was a lot of speculation that this was all a big publicity stunt from the owner of the team, who is sort of a New York businessman. And it seemed like his coach, Slick Leonard, was maybe not on board with this idea that he had. He had offered Anne the tryout, and then his coach had actually flown out to California, and Coach Leonard had said, you know, Anne, please don't try out, tried to talk her out of it, convince her that it wasn't going to work for her. And Anne definitely was realistic about the situation and humble, at least in interviews. She said many times, you know, maybe I'm not good enough, but basically she just didn't want to pass up on this opportunity. And honestly, she had some reasons to be confident. She regularly played with her NBA playing brother and frequently scrimmaged against Julius Erving, who actually wrote the foreword to her memoir and praised her basketball skills. But of course, the sports writers of the country, the columnists, thought that they knew better. I have one quote from a Pensacola news writer who says, I think ironically, quote, "Male chauvinist pig that I am, I think this is a big joke, a stunt, a hype, a gimmick." And that was under the headline, "Myers could get killed." So obviously he was worried about her safety. The sports editor for the San Angelo Standard-Times also called Ann Myers' contract a gimmick and claimed that there are literally hundreds, probably thousands, who are better than her. The writer doesn't fault Anne for taking the contract and the $50,000, but bristles at the idea that she thinks she could actually compete with the other players. Quote, "Now really, Anne, isn't that a bit silly?" He goes on to say, "I hope I don't sound like a chauvinist," and, "It wouldn't bother me a bit if you made the team, providing you were really good enough." I suppose I, too, am not the one to evaluate whether Anne Myers really was good enough to play in the NBA, but I would like to interject here with a quote from Bill Russell, Hall of Famer. He says, "Annie was one of the best basketball players ever. I didn't say male or female. I said ever." So, how did the tryouts actually go? Not too bad. It turns out that and pretty much held her own. She did get knocked down a few times by some of the bigger guys, including once by John Kooster, and there were photos of that captured and printed in newspapers. He felt bad and kind of helped her up and said, you know, "How are you doing? Are you okay?" And she told the news reporters, "Nope, he shouldn't feel bad. I had to remind him we're going after the same job." So she actually did get praise, not only from the teammates, but also from the coach who had tried to talk her out of it. Coach Leonard said, you know, it was tough defensively for her, but she did nothing to embarrass herself. And he actually said she did excellent today after their first day of practice. She did make it through some of the first cuts. And then, you know, after a few days and a few scrimmages on day three, she was let go. And Coach Leonard says she was better. We had a bunch of guys come in trying out, and she was better than a whole bunch of them. But I did have to cut her just like any other player, and she really did do a good job. And so the supposed publicity stunt was over before this season even started. A female sports writer for the Times Leader wrote, "In a few years, as she sits in front of a television set watching her, quote, almost teammates, play basketball the way men should play in a men's league, she's going to bury her head in her hands and regret having allowed herself to be a guinea pig." Honestly, it seems to me like she earned the respect of everyone who actually saw her play or played against her, but outsiders just kept trying to kind of tear her down and didn't believe in this story. Another kind of crazy little side story I found was that during her time trying out for the Indiana Pacers, the GM of the New Orleans Pride, which was a women's professional basketball league team, sent through a telegram. Yes, that is a 1979 technology alert, a telegram to the Pacers training camp, offering them a $5,000 bet that Ann couldn't beat one of their players in a one-on-one basketball setting. They actually had the Pride general manager go on to say that four or five different players on his team could beat her one-on-one. And he said he doubted that she'd be good enough to make the next Olympic team, which is something that she did give up by taking the contract with the Indiana Pacers. She kind of gave up her eligibility for the 1980 Olympics by relieving herself of her amateur status. Of course, I do just need to interject here that Ann Myers did end up playing in the WPBL, the Women's Professional Basketball League, that next season in 1979-1980 for the New Jersey Gems, and she was named the co-MVP. So, I would say that she could handle playing other players in the league one-on-one since she was the best of the league. We're now 40-some years in the future, and we haven't seen another woman try to play with an NBA team, but we have seen the rise of the WNBA, and I should note that Ann Myers is now the president and GM for the Phoenix Mercury WNBA team, as well as the vice president of the Phoenix Suns. And in between then, she did about 26 years as a TV analyst, covered basketball in the Olympics. She actually went on to marry Don Drysdale, the Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher, and they became the first married couple ever where each spouse was a representative of their respective sports Hall of Fame. So Ann Myers has just continued to blaze trails throughout her life, and it's been so fascinating for me to look into this story and read up on all the things that she's accomplished. If you have anything that you would like to share, you can always reach out to us at podcast@sportsreference.com. Thank you so much for listening.